gets it, and the touchdown. Second and goal, pass, caught, touchdown, Chicago. Allen Robinson, he keeps again. One-on-one, tackle missed, touchdown, Trubisky. What a night for number 10.
Mitchell Trubisky, I remember that guy. The Chicago Bears quarterback with the 23-yard touchdown run that essentially iced the game for the Chicago Bears, who are alive suddenly in the NFC after a 31-24 win over the Cowboys, who, you know what? Stank! Here in the Throwback Podcast Garage, contractually obligated to call it that, with, for the first time ever, as he prepares for his first throwback pod ever, Greg Rosenthal, big, welcome to the garage, buddy.
Big times. Big change. You know, Mark's got the long form. I'm stepping in. I'm loving it. I'm wearing like a Bears-ish jacket that we got in London. And what a night to do it. Mitchell Trubisky, we were all wrong about you, buddy.
What a night for Mark to not be on the show also, because that for me, that's the big takeaway. And we know how the NFL media sphere works. Again, the biggest story probably will be tomorrow morning, the Cowboys in a free fall. And that is a big story considering all the expectations and where they were back in September. But to me, the big story here is that Mitchell Trubisky, with a 23 for 31, 244-yard, three-touchdown performance, averages 8 yards per attempt, running the ball again, runs for 63 yards, including that touchdown that you heard. He might be playing himself back into the future plans of the Bears. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to suggest that that's now in play, which you would have never, ever even considered 3 weeks ago, unless you still think that's not possible.
No, I think it's in play because, you know, he's under contract, and what are they going to do? He's going to be part of the mix.
On the bench.
Right. And I think that's a possibility, depending on how the next 3 weeks go, and they should be open to it. But good for him for playing better. We have talked about it a little bit on the podcast that he has been running a bit more, but this is the game where I think they looked at the matchup and they just thought this Cowboys team struggled with Jeff Driskel running. They struggled with Josh Allen running. Let's let Mitchell be Mitchell. That's what he does best. And the Cowboys didn't do anything all night. You could hear Troy Aikman.
Oh, just Troy's dying.
Being frustrated, though, about the Cowboys' defense more than anything. Because the Cowboys, so they
and he looks Troy looks so good, too, with the jacket and the hoodie. That was like the coolest Troy Aikman ever looked. And then the Cowboys, what do you got in your notes?
I'm just flipping my notes around to Dan just so he can see. The only thing in capital letters, Troy, nice hoodie / jacket / sweater combo.
Yeah, I'll throw it back to you. I just want to point out that the program starts with the greatest Cowboys quarterback ever, arguably, looking cooler than he ever has. And then Dallas promptly goes on a 17-play, 75-yard touchdown drive that ends with that Zeke touchdown you heard off the top. It's the longest opening drive in yardage and time of the season, spanning 9 minutes. And everything is going their way, and then everything explodes.
And they get an interception on their first drive on defense. But that was still a bad sign because the Bears were moving the ball. And what Troy was frustrated about, I think, was the defense, which is coordinated by Rod Marinelli and Chris Richard, and they're in their minds what they would call it, like an execution defense. You know, Richard comes from Seattle, where okay, we're not going to mix it up too much. We're going to bend but don't break. But what we're going to do is play fast, and we're going to execute. You know, and we're going to be great at tackling and fundamentals, and we're going to have, you know, the ball in front of us so we can force big plays. And like none of that is happening. Like they're counting on them to fly around and make tackles. And Trubisky had a great night numbers-wise, and he ran the ball well. But he didn't have to make that many tough throws. I mean, I'm not trying to rain on the parade, but there was a lot of like third and fives where he just threw it to a guy that's wide open, and he had clearly defined reads, and it reminded me a little bit
of some tough throws in big spots.
He had a couple like low percentage, you know, where he snuck it in there. But for the most part, it reminded me of the Bears last year where Matt Nagy created big plays for him. I mean, that nothing wrong with that. I mean, they dominated. So it's not, I'm not like saying anything about them, but the Cowboys defense has been pretty trashy all year.
Yeah, and that's been a huge disappointment because we saw that as a position of strength. I think Leighton Vander Esch being out with this neck injury plays a role, but it probably shouldn't explain why it's been this bad because they could not get a stop. I mean, even when they got back into the game, I thought, you know, I'll remember the game for Trubisky's great play, but also the Cowboys, a team that just, you know, obviously is in such a deep funk that when they finally get back into that game with the second Zeke touchdown, they go for it on fourth down. And I think it pulled them within, what was it, 10 points? They got it back down to 10 points.
Yeah.
And then what does Brett Maher do? He kicks the damn ball out of bounds, setting up the Bears at the 40, and then Trubisky leads them right down for another touchdown. This has been a team-wide collapse for the Dallas Cowboys, and you wonder, again, what happens with Jason Garrett and with Jerry Jones. The patience, obviously, has to be either out or running out. And I think Troy Aikman, and you know, we talk about the way he looks and all this stuff, but nobody's more plugged in than Troy when it comes to Cowboys business, because he's a fan. He loves that team. And he makes the point as the game is kind of time running out. And this is a quote: "Who on that staff has earned the right to be the interim coach? I can't think of one guy." And that's going to bat for his boy Garrett, but also you know, pointing out that there's really no magic fix. No matter who you brought in, this team is a team that had so much hope and so much anticipation that this would be a year, and it's going down the drain.
Well, it might also just be paraphrasing something he heard from Stephen Jones.
Yeah, on the you phone know what I mean? With Jarrah last night over whiskey.
Because Jerry Jones, you know, there was a report by Adam Schefter last week, which Adam, you know, re-upped tonight, that said no matter what, the Cowboys are not going to fire Garrett during the season. And maybe that's their reasoning, assuming they stick to that. I don't, you know what, I'm not going to, the Maher has been a disaster. It wouldn't have mattered. At no point was this Cowboys defense going to stop it. If you think,
just fitting is
the,
all.
Yeah, it was 10-7, and that was, Liam, pretty late in the second quarter, and that's when Dak and the fullback, Omawale, were not on the same page on a third down that should have been a layup, and then Maher misses the kick. And then the Bears go down the field, and they have a first and 15 at the 24-yard line with 30 seconds left in the half. You do not expect to give up a touchdown in that situation. And so you give up a touchdown. Then you come out of halftime, and the Cowboys give up a 7.5-minute touchdown drive, where that's the drive I'm thinking of, where Trubisky didn't really have to do much in that drive, where he was either running or getting layups on third downs, and they're picking on Jalen Smith, and he gets a touchdown to Allen Robinson with Jalen Smith on him. It was a rough night for Jalen Smith, and it's just like they knew the matchups. This was a coaching game, and I think that's going to be something in Jerry Jones's mind, that Nagy kept identifying matchups and the side of the field, and the play calling was doing a lot of the work for them.
And we talked about it on the Thursday, week 14 preview episode. I was saying that, just talking about the Raiders and how they look like they're in the tank, but you never know in the NFL. Things change so quickly, and when you're sure of something, what's the old Roddy Piper line? Just when I had all the answers, they changed up all the questions. Like, that's the NFL. And
I liked
2 weeks ago, yeah, he's the best. 2 weeks ago, we're reading stories, maybe 10 days ago, about Matt Nagy's going to give up the play calling. And I think that was obviously a ridiculous notion. But also, Trubisky, to me, confidence is such a big part of this. And it goes for like anything in life. But you could tell that he was playing without any confidence. And he's already not a gifted player physically, like the best quarterbacks in the league. But you could see the way he's carrying himself on the field. It's with confidence. And that was a takeaway from me. And then back on the Cowboys side of it, I just want to – you need a big performance from your big guys in a really important game. And Zeke Elliott, he had that one big run, but he still finished with just 81 yards. I know they got behind on the score, but he's 5 straight games under 100 yards rushing. Prescott, I thought, missed throws and never really got into a groove. He had a garbage time touchdown to Amari Cooper. Cooper, he hasn't had a big game in a while. Michael Gallup's the only guy that really flashed to me on their offense today.
Yeah, Dak's timing was off. I think Dak's had a really good season. I had him in the MVP race, you know, 2 weeks ago. But Kurt Warner pointed out a couple times when he's taking drops and the timing was just off on 3rd and 4. There were some situations where it's like Cooper was singled up on Buster Screen on 3rd down, 1-on-1, and Dak doesn't even look to him. Dak, to me, has been a very streaky quarterback in his career, and the last 3 weeks has been a rough streak against good defenses. And that's the thing with worry about if you're a Bears fan. It's like, yeah, Trubisky's playing better, but you have the Packers next. Maybe not the toughest matchup in the world. I think that's a winnable game. But then you have the Chiefs. That's a tough one. And you have the Vikings to finish it out. And even if you won all three of those, that might not be enough. If you're a Bears fan, then you're happy you get to play the two teams in your division that are in front of you. That's actually what you want, because that's their only chance that they would have to come. The fact that we've been talking about them as like a playoff team, or playoff contention, is ridiculous.
They're now at 7-6, 4 wins in 5 weeks. They're up to the 8th seed. They got the Rams and the Vikings ahead of them in the wild card. You know, crazier things have happened. It's still such a brutal schedule, like you're saying.
And they lost Roquan Smith today, although the guy who came in for
the pec injury, too, which you never like to hear.
It probably... usually that means you're not coming back, that it's a torn muscle, but you never know. But yeah, the guy who came in, Kevin Pierre-Louis, was awesome tonight. And they've actually, at the very least, if any talk, which I didn't believe, that Nagy and Ryan Pace, their GM, were going to be in trouble, that's out the window. They're going to be fine. Trubisky maybe gets a little longer rope next year. But the crazy thing is the Cowboys are still in first place. It's like as bad as it was, but I saw some, you know, advanced metrics site that said that the Cowboys, you know, playoff odds went from 63% to 57% tonight. So it's like it barely even hurt them. They have a pretty good chance to host a home game in the playoffs. It's just going to come down to that Eagles game. It's so bad.
As you know, I've talked about it for years on the podcast. I love the NFC East. I grew up.
Dark times.
With my grandfather sitting on his brown couch, drinking root beer, watching the Giants and the Redskins and all those great rivalries in the 80s. And the NFC East has never been won with an 8-8 record. And this is a tweet from Rich Eisen, actually. For that streak to continue, Dallas must finish 3-0 and or Philly 4-0. They both have won one in the last four games. And the Washington Redskins and the Giants are the other two teams in the division. I mean, it's just... it's hard to believe that it's come to this in this division. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I mentioned on the preview show, the out-of-division record is potentially going to be the worst in NFL history for the NFC East, and this doesn't help it. I mean, so many teams have had their best win of the season against the Cowboys.
Even my team.
Every week. No, the Jets... the Patriots, as a Patriots fan, I kind of felt like that was their best win, because at the time I'm like, well, the Cowboys have a good offense. That's a legitimate team. The Patriots really haven't been beaten many legitimate teams. That was Kirk Cousins' big primetime moment. They get their win against the Vikings. Who am I forgetting here? Last week, the Cowboys lose that game to the Bills.
Bills!
On Thanksgiving. Yeah. That's their biggest... so it's like every team. And this was... I know the Bears beat the Vikings early in the year. It's like when Chase Daniel... but no, this was the Bears' best win of the year. It's like the Cowboys are the feel-good team. It's like you play them and you're like, hey, maybe we're legit. We beat the Cowboys. Or maybe now, as a Patriots fan, I'm thinking, oh, gosh, maybe it doesn't mean much.
I know. They're kind of a tough team to figure out. And
it doesn't make any sense. Like, the numbers...
We keep on putting on Garrett, too, and I'm sure they could do better with a better head coach, but is there something more to this? Did we overrate the talent on the field? Certainly not the skill players on offense. We know how good their big holy trinity is, but maybe on the defensive side of the ball or the offensive line? Like, not working?
Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick, one of which is... you know, maybe going to the Hall of Fame, and Smith or has a chance, and Frederick, who's been an All-Pro, they're not as good as they used to be. So the line isn't as good, but it's still quite good. I think it's more of a culture thing. Wes and I fought about this in the offseason. It's one of my tropes I keep going to, because it always hits. The Cowboys always blow it the year after their good year. They're expected to be good, and they're feeling themselves. They're such big stars there. You know, they got Jane Slater shows. They got it all. It's like they're gods, and I don't know. There's something about them that they read their own press clippings or something.
Let me just throw out a couple more stats that jumped out to me. When they had that interception of Trubisky, which was a beautiful, the rare toe drag swag by a cornerback.
Right.
Excellent. That was their first takeaway in 263 snaps spanning 5 games. So there's a problem as well. Your defense has to make plays and make game plays that set up your offense. It all ties together. And then the other big stat. So they went 4-for-4. On third down on that 17-play initial drive, they went 0 for their next 10. The offense just went in the tank. In the tank, as Mitch Trubisky went up and down the field in a game the Cowboys needed. Right. What else needs to be said?
Right. There was a key third down conversion by the Bears when Michael Bennett had his 7,000th like encroachment penalty.
God,
of his career.
I love watching Michael Bennett fail.
There was a lot of, I mean, now that he's an expatriate, I don't mind it. like there was a lot of Michael Bennett getting up off the ground after
right.
a big
and looking
Cowboys,
dumbfounded.
Like in this game, I've got something for you though that I thought maybe you were going to other big time Roddy Piper quotes. You don't throw rocks at a man with a machine gun. I don't remember that.
Well, you don't.
I'm so quick I can spit in the wind, duck, and let it hit the old lady behind me.
Poor lady. See, aren't you happy you got my Wi-Fi password now?
I'm the reason Hulk Hogan lost his hair.
Ooh, that's good.
I can't really deliver it the same way.
No, but Roddy was a guy. All right. Anything else, Greg?
No. I feel good for it. You know, we know a lot of Bears fans. Yeah, sometimes in a totally miserable season, if they just give you at least a couple little moments, at least
this is what you want.
Or at least it didn't go to 5-11 total misery. They gave you a little something.
That's what I was saying with the Jets, so I really was hoping they would beat the Bengals last week. You know, relevant December football. You don't even have to get to the playoffs. Just give me something where they're not playing out the string. The Bears are not playing out the string. Did we watch a playoff team tonight?
No, not with their schedule. Oh, I see what you're doing here. No, I've been keeping the Eagles off of the chopping block, and so I'm sticking with that. That I kept thinking the Eagles will somehow figure it out, and the Cowboys keep allowing them time to do it.
Well, we forked the Eagles and the Bears.
Wait, so we didn't fork the Eagles.
Oh, we didn't.
I kept them clean. That was
we
the thing.
We did
fork
the Bears, though.
Yeah, I kept fighting to still keep them alive because I still thought they'd get in.
All right, there we go. Greg, you're now going to stay in the garage.
That's the big news tonight.
Yeah, my buddy
Arcade
Bob.
Fire.
Yep, throwback pod. We're going to tape Funeral, the debut album from Arcade Fire. That's one of the bands that, in the Venn diagram, both of us love a little AF.
One of the defining albums of the aughts. Has to be.
Bob, the door's squeaky. We're trying to do an NFL podcast. People actually listen to the show, Bob.
Cowboys suck.
Well, he's not wrong. All right, next time you hear from us, we'll be with the whole gang on Sunday night, wrapping up the rest of the Week 14 action. Until then, this is Dan Hansis signing off for the old boss. Till Sunday night.